Lord willing, we're going to finish up chapter 9, Gospel of Luke, today. Today we're going to talk about a subject that I don't know really you hear super often. It's not always the most popular topic. I don't know how often it gets preached on. I'm sure some, but maybe not enough. Maybe not enough. So we're gonna have a word of prayer, and we're going to jump into it. Lord, I pray that you would draw us near to you. I pray that we would be deeper in prayer and closer to the throne of grace. I ask that you would forgive us for our sins, and I thank you that you are faithful and true, that your blood and your grace are sufficient. So please forgive us for all of our sins. Pray your touch upon us and your blessing. And I pray that your Spirit would pour upon this place in a powerful, fresh way and touch lives and change hearts. I pray that you would disciple us and grow us and mature us. I pray that we wouldn't be stagnant. I pray that we wouldn't try to coast. I pray we would be on fire for you and deeper in love with you, and that we would love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. With everything we have, we love you. I pray you would open your word and help us to rightly divide it and keep it in context. I pray you'd proclaim it, and I pray, Lord, that it would change us. I pray that we would see things clearer and better and have a deeper, more passionate walk with you. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, if you have your Bibles, we're in Luke chapter 9. I'm going to start in verse 57. Not too long ago, we talked about the fact that salvation is free for us, correct? Salvation is a free gift to us from God. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. That's awesome. Salvation was not free for God. Salvation cost a lot for him. He said we were bought at a high price. Right? We were bought at a very high price. It was the blood of his son. He shed his blood for us. The price he paid to give us that free salvation, he paid a very high price for. Discipleship is not free for us. To truly follow him, to truly be sold out to him, and to truly follow him. And I don't know that does get talked about a lot, because people would rather hear all the easy stuff. They want to hear what they're going to get. Not what they might have to give. Harold Martin talks about this scripture. He says there are three men who want to follow Jesus, but they want to do it with compromise and delay. Compromise and delay. Starting in verse 57, as they were walking along the road, they were just trying to go from Galilee to Jerusalem. Remember, they were in Samaria. Remember that the Samaritans did not like the Jews, and the Jews did not like the Samaritans, and they did not get along. And Jesus, since they knew his face was towards Jerusalem, they weren't going to let him be there. They weren't going to welcome him. So my feeling is they're still walking through Samaria. It was a journey down through there to get down to Jerusalem. And they were on their way, and they're still walking along the road. A man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Didn't that sound awesome? I mean, that's what we all should be saying, right? I mean, we're going to follow you wherever you go. Whatever you do, we're going to follow you. You're going to be sold out for you. We want to do whatever you want us to do. It's a great thought. I think there are a lot of people that have that feeling when they start to hear about Jesus, and they start to grow in him, and they're excited about him, and they know that he is God, and they see what he's doing. And they say, hey, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do whatever it takes to follow you. Jesus has this response. I wonder, I mean, don't raise your hand, but if it's a different response than you might think, because I think some people would think he'd be like, woohoo, yeah, come on. Listen to what he says. Jesus replied, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. I want to start with the Son of Man. We've been talking about that a lot. We know that that's Jesus. He's the ideal man. He's the perfect representation. He is everything man should be. He's perfection. He's the ideal servant of God, and he's the servant of men. He served us. He died for us. He saved us. Have you ever thought what Jesus gave up for ministry, to do his ministry? I think what he's saying here, this guy said, hey, I want to follow you. Wherever you go, I'm going to follow you. And Jesus says, hey, look, foxes have holes. They can go hang out in, right? Birds have nests. I have no place to lay my head. He is the creator of all things. He speaks and galaxies are made. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Nothing was created that is created that he didn't do. He is God. Amen? When he put on flesh, when he's walking here, what he is saying, my understanding of the scripture, what he is saying is, even the birds of the air and the animals have better and more adequate and permanent places than he does at this point in his life. In his ministry, at this point in his life, the birds of the air and the animals have more permanent and adequate places than he does. He's saying ministry is hard. He's telling the guy, count the cost before you jump in. Count the cost of discipleship before you jump in with both feet, because it is harder than it might appear. People see on the outside some things, but they don't always see the tough side of things. And guess what? Sold out, true ministry for Jesus isn't always easy. It's not always luxury. You hear the health and wealth ministries all the time, right? Hey, follow Jesus, send us $50. You get $5,000 back later, right? That type of stuff. Listen, God has a cattle on 1,000 hills. He can give you billions of dollars if he wants to. But guess what? Maybe he's not as concerned about your comfort and your luxury. Maybe he's more concerned about your spiritual growth. Maybe how easy life is isn't the biggest thing on his target for you. Maybe he's more concerned about how your relationship is with him. And maybe if it's too easy, your relationship's not going to be that good because you're trying to coast. If we're honest, most of us grow closer in the valleys than on the mountaintops. And he's saying, count the cost of ministry. Count the cost before you jump in. Read a news article this morning when I woke up. It's talking about in North Korea. Did anybody see that? In North Korea, a couple Christian churches, of course they have to be very secretive because they can be imprisoned or worse. The persecution in North Korea for Christians is off the charts. I think most of you know that. But what they would do is they'd get up really, really early in the morning. They'd go down to the rivers. They'd get into the boats, and they would take the boats clear out into the river. That's where they would worship, because that's the only place they felt safe. So they'd get far enough out into the river, then they would pull out the Bibles, but they're always on the watch for other boats coming along because they're afraid it's the police. And they had these old Bibles. Not everybody has one. There's just a few people have a Bible, and they are pretty worn because they have to hide them all the time, right? And they read them, and they get water on them because they're in a boat. It's hard to keep everything dry on a boat. I mean, I'm not the great sailor, but it's a boat. So they get worn, and they get beat up, and this other boat came along, and they were tripping out, if you can imagine, because they thought it was the police. Well, it was actually somebody bringing them Bibles. And gave them Bibles, and they were thrilled to have them. That was like the greatest gift that they could receive. They were overjoyed to have these Bibles. And so that guy took the old Bibles they had back, and he had them at his hotel, I believe, if I remember the story right, but had them back. And all of a sudden they came up missing. It's because the janitor was a Christian, had a home church, and he took the old worn out Bibles and was thrilled because they didn't have any. You don't have to, when you talk to a church like that, you don't have to tell them about the cost, counting the cost of ministry. They live it every day. They live it every day. The Word of God is that valuable to them, they're willing to risk their life. I hope it's that precious to us. I hope when you said, Jesus, I want to follow you, you were in, sold out, no matter the cost. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. It sounds like a pretty legitimate claim, doesn't it? I mean, he said, follow me. First off, what does that mean, follow me? I think when Jesus wants us to follow him, listen, I don't believe it's part of you. Some of you are part-time. I believe if he gave his all for us and he wants us to give our all for him. I don't think he wants 80%. He doesn't want the 20-80 rule. He wants us to be sold out. I think that's what he wants. What does it take to do that? I believe it's self-denial. I believe it's got to be more about him and less about us. And that has not come naturally because we are selfish. It's us that we're worried about. In reality, it should be more about him and less about us. But he said, let me go and bury my father first. There are commentators, there are scholars who actually believe that at this point, that gentleman's father probably wasn't dead. What they think was is he very likely was the eldest child, and he would have had the responsibility of taking care of his father, and then when his father passed away, he would have been in charge of the burial, in charge of that stuff. And what he's saying is, after I get done with this task, after this happens, I'll come follow you. That's how some read the scripture with the culture background. Now, some people feel that maybe his father was dying or had died. And Jesus was saying, you'll see in just a second, if you go back, people are going to talk you out of what you're trying to do right now. They're going to say you're crazy. You know, family does that sometimes. You say, hey, I feel called into ministry. And they say, I think you're nuts. Jesus responds to him. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. Is he being cold here? I do not believe Jesus is cold. I believe he is being honest, and I believe he is full of love, and I believe he's trying to teach. Listen to what he says. Let the dead bury their own dead. So I believe he's saying, let the spiritually dead bury the physically dead. Let the spiritually dead bury the physically dead. Why? He goes on to say, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. So you're like, what is he talking about? He's saying, let the spiritually dead bury the physically dead. You have an important job. You go talk to the living because you still have a chance to proclaim to the living the kingdom of God. Because the dead, it's already gone. You can't change them. But there's an urgency to go out and reach the lost now because the lost are lost. And if they're still living, they need to hear the truth because that's the only thing that's going to change their life is Jesus Christ. Do you see the urgency that's going on here? He's saying, let them take care of it. You go proclaim the kingdom because there's a need for people to hear about the kingdom of God. There's people need to hear about Jesus. People need to hear. When we do ministry and you feel called to ministry, how often do we push it off and we push it off and we push it off and we push it off? We're really good about getting busy, being busy, and making excuses. You know, whenever I found out my kidneys were struggling, I did really good for a while, eating better. You can tell I don't do that as well anymore. But I was eating better, and I was doing better. And then Thanksgiving came, and you start cheating, right? And then you just keep cheating. And I keep saying in my head, where I'm going with this, in my head, I keep saying, I will start tomorrow. I will start next week. This is a great day to start. Of course, everybody goes to January 1st and make it to what, January 3rd? Right? You same thing with this. But this is bigger. It's way bigger. We push it off and we push it down the line. You just keep kicking the can and you kick the can and you kick the can. And then finally one day you wake up and you're like, there went 2 decades. I think we're called to follow him and he wants us to follow him sold out now, not tomorrow. Now and tomorrow. Now and tomorrow. He goes on. So he was supposed to go and proclaim the kingdom of God, go on and preach and share so lives can be changed. And he goes on and he says, still another, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. One of the saddest statements in Scripture. Catch what he says. I will follow you but. Did you catch that? One of the saddest statements in Scripture. I will follow you, but. In my notes, I have dot, dot, dot. I will follow you, you fill in the blank. But what? What do you put in there? I can give you all kinds of things. There's all kinds of reasons and excuses people use. What's the excuse you're using? I will follow you, but... His was, he wanted to go back and say goodbye to his family first. Makes me wonder if he wasn't putting family over God. Listen to me. Family's extremely important to me. Extremely important to me. Can't always pick your family, but you're called to love them. I've been very blessed. I have an amazing family, and I love them dearly, all of them. I love them dearly. Very, very blessed. But you are called to love God above all things. That includes family. You're called to love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, with every ounce of everything of your being. You're called to love Him. And I believe when you love Him with everything you are, then you can love your family even better. And then you can love others who aren't always lovely better, but it's because of your love for Him. You're called to love Him and not put anything else above Him. Jesus goes on and Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. My understanding is that word can be not fit for service or not useful in service. It's my understanding. He says, whenever you start into the work, if you say you're going to follow me and you're going to be my disciple and you're going to go sold out for me, whenever you start into that, you shouldn't have a divided heart. That's what he's talking about, not having a divided heart, not looking back all the time. Listen, if you're trying to do work, but all you do is look at the past, you're not nearly as effective in what you're doing going forward. Are you with me? It's hard to do work and press forward when your eyes are always backwards. He's saying you can't have a divided heart. I'll use this for an example. You can't serve two masters. You love one and hate the other. You can't serve both God and money. You can't serve both God and money. I don't believe he wants a divided heart. I believe he wants all of us. I believe we're called to press forward. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn to Philippians chapter 3. It's on back in your Bibles, towards the back of your Bibles a little bit. It's a small letter. It's easy to turn past, and you might have to turn back, but small letter. Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 12. While you're looking for it, I want to set this up. What you're going to hear here is Paul saying, I haven't obtained it yet. I'm not there yet. I'm not doing this perfect yet. This is the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul. He's saying, I haven't arrived yet. I haven't arrived yet, but I'm pushing forward. I haven't arrived yet. Still going forward. Listen to what he says. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on, taking hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. He's like, I haven't done it yet, but I'm pressing on. Still working on it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Forgetting what's behind and straining for what's ahead. Pushing forward on what's ahead. I press on. Press on. Do you hear the language here? It's work, church. If you're going to be a disciple for Him, if you're going to grow in Him, if you're truly sold out for Him and you're going to do ministry for Him, it's work. It's effort. There's cost involved. The rewards far outweigh the cost every time. The rewards far outweigh the cost every time. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He's pressing forward. He's moving on. No, he's not perfect. He's saying, I'm not perfect. I'm not in perfection yet. I haven't made it. I haven't obtained it yet. But I'm pressing forward. I'm still moving forward. I'm not quitting. I'm not stopping. I'm not coasting. Mr. Wyman's the one that used to say that. I think it was his dad. He used to say, you only coast in one direction. Wasn't that your dad, Dick? Said that. You know which direction that is, right? Downhill. He said, I'm pressing forward. I'm striving forward. So what do we need to do? I believe we need to count the cost. Jesus sacrificed his all for us, everything. My question is, will you count the cost and follow him? A lot of people give it lip service. I'm not talking about saying the words. I'm saying, will you say the words and live the life? Will you quit kicking the can down the road? There is a great need out there. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. It still applies today. Quit kicking the can down the road and go follow him. And don't have a divided heart. Press forward for the goal. That's what we need to do. My question is, why would we do that? Is any of you sitting here, I mean, please don't raise your hand to that, but is anybody sitting there thinking, man, Pastor, you're asking a lot. Why in the world would I do that? You wouldn't do it because I told you to. If that's the reason you do it, you're probably not going to make it very long. You might make it a half hour. You know why I want you to do that? It's because you know who he is. And you know what he's done for you. You know that he is God. He is a creator. He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And you know what he's done for you. You know that he saved you, right? He saved you from death and his wrath, which we deserve every bit of. And he saved you from your own sin. And he gives you eternal life. He saved you from the enemy. He saved you. Something you couldn't do. That you know who he is and that you know what he's done for you. And you love him so much you can't do anything else but follow him. That's why you do it. Because you love him. Not because somebody guilt you into it. Not because somebody pushes you into it. Not because your wife tells you to. But because you love him so much you can't do anything else but follow him. That's what I want. For you to have a love for him that's so deep you can't help but serve and follow him. No matter the cost. Those people in North Korea are willing to go to prison because they love him. And if that's what it takes to... then so be it. I want you to love him like that. I pray that we would be Holy Spirit filled. I pray that our eyes would be fixed on Jesus. I pray that we would be in constant communication with him through prayer and through his word. And I pray that we would be passionate and on fire and intentional about the ministry he has called us to do. Father God, I pray that we would be that church. And we ask it in Jesus' name. All God's people said. If you would, please stand as the praise team comes up to lead us in worship.